This is the Meet Me for Coffee podcast.
This is a pleasure for me to interview this man, Tom Kilner, all the way from Sheffield, United Kingdom. How's it going?
I'm very good, man. Thank you for having us on.
This is the Meet Me for Coffee podcast, which means that we have to ask you right off the bat if you drink coffee or tea and how you take it.
I'm a bit of both, to be fair. I've got no allegiances to tea or coffee, but at the minute I seem to be going through a tea phase. So I'll say tea for the time being.
This is a pretty interesting episode because we're going to talk about your newest record, Borrowed Time. It is one of the tracks on the upcoming record, which will be released, I believe, April 12th, right?
Yeah, that's right. April 12th, okay. That comes out.
For those of us who never heard of Tom Kilner, he's an amazing musician from the UK. He's got this record, Borrowed Time, that's on its way out to you. I want you guys to go pick this up. It's a great listen. There's a couple tracks that stand out to me, Heart of Gold, Only You, One Day at a Time. And of course, On the Other Side, some of those are bunched together on the record, and it just makes you have it's almost like a nostalgic listen, my friend. And that's why I mentioned to your publicist, I want this thing on vinyl. And I don't know, like, it just gives me like a Rolling Stones feel, right? What are some of your influences?
Well, I mean, Rolling Stones for one of them. I mean, like tracks like On the Other Side, that's got the Stonesy type swagger rock and roll type feel to it. I mean, I listened to a lot of the Stones growing up. I mean, there's guys like Jason Isbell in there. There's Ryan Adams, Springsteen, sort of the old Southern rock guys like Lynn Skynyrd and Molly Hatchet and the Southern rock bands of the early 70s. I've just grown up listening to those guys and sort of absorbing it, and that's how the record's sort of been influenced.
Yeah, and it's definitely sometimes people take their influences and just kind of put it on display, and you can really see where it comes from. But a lot of people don't have like that part of the influence where it just comes into your music naturally. And that's kind of how I feel about this. It's like, you know, it's, you're not pushing Aussie riffs or, you know, doing some tones. It's like, it's authentic and it's raw. And I believe that you played a show at the 100?
Yeah, it was last night. I don't know when this is going out, but we just played the 100 Club in London last night, which is a bucket list venue for me. Because, you know, like everybody's played there, from the Stones to Eric Clapton to Oasis, everybody, Sex Pistols, everybody's played that venue. And it's one of the iconic London venues. So first time last night, and that was great.
This is absolutely fantastic, man. I think that you've got a lot of promise ahead in your career. Tell us about the record. Who'd you produce it with? And how did this all come to be? Why a full length record?
Well, I like to do things how they used to be done. I'm very much set in the old ways of sit down and listen to a record from start to finish. Of course, you've got to change these days with releasing singles for digital and Spotify and streaming and stuff like that. But my preferred way of releasing pieces of music is with a full album worth of stuff, which I know a lot of artists are sort of moving away from these days. But I think, like, with the resurgence of vinyl and of records, it's the way to do it again. It's to have a sort of a coherent piece of art that all sort of fits together and flows together, and you sort of got to think about it and construct an overall piece rather than just knocking out singles. But I mean, the record started, must have been pre-lockdown. Some of the songs like Light It Up and On the Other Side have been in my set since about 2015, to be fair, but we've just never got to record them on the last albums, and they just didn't fit the feel of it. But I thought, now's the right time. If any time they're going to be recorded, this is the time to do it. If not, then they're never going to get done. So there's a couple of songs like that that's been hanging around for quite a while. But the main bulk of it was written in the lockdowns and the pandemic times and all that lot. I mean, Cosmic Sounds is the first track on the record. It was the first single, but it was also one of the first tracks that I wrote specifically for this album when we were planning it. And when we had that time to sort of have a breathing space between touring and bits and bobs like that, we just ended up writing a load of songs that it originally was going to be an acoustic album. It was going to be a singer-songwriter album. But then when we could see each other all again and get in a room and play together, it was like we're going to be adding drums to it, we're adding bass to it, we're adding keys. So then it became a full-blown band record. And that's just sort of how it's developed, really.
No, that's good. I mean, like, that's a good explanation as to why you released a full length. I know a lot of bands release full lengths and still do. It's whether you can keep the attention of your listener while you release that piece of work that or artwork that people are like looking forward to, right? And it also, it's kind of interesting to have a tangible album that you can buy and hold in your hand. And that's why vinyl's on a big resurgence, and of course cassette tapes, but I would really advise going to cassette tapes, my friend. I've seen a few of those just in my little tours here in my town of some bands coming here, and I won't mention who, but
I have seen that there is sort of a tape resurgence as well. I'm seeing more people release it on cassettes, which, I mean, my dad's collection of music, a lot of that was on tape when I was growing up. I'm still of an age where I do remember tapes being in the house and having a pencil when they get jammed in the machine. Yeah. To rewind the tape, but that's cool. I mean, to be fair, I've still got a load of tapes knocking around somewhere with my favorite albums on. That'd be cool.
Yeah, just don't go into the studio asking to produce your record just like Led Zeppelin did and stuff, and actually cutting the tape and, you know, rolling like tape, and then you might get a nice big punch in the face from that producer if you don't have a lot.
I mean, there is a sound to recording on tape, but the practicalities and expense of it, because a roll of tape is not cheap, and for what you get out of it. I mean, I do like the old school ways. I mean, we've just recently bought a tape machine for recording onto but that's just sort of an egotistical trick.
Speaking of the devil, he bought a tape recorder. That's okay. I mean, it works for your demos and stuff like that. Like I said, a lot of resurgence. I have a CD player still in my car, and I'm happy that I do. And in this day and age, the only thing I think digitalizing things like online music is your accessibility to it, right?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, like, when iPods started to make an appearance, I mean, that's great. Mm-hmm. You could just take your entire music collection with you. I mean, and now streaming, you've got access to literally everything that you could ever want to listen to, which is great. It's got its advantages. I mean, the royalty thing is a bit skewed for artists. It's not great, but to be discovered on streaming, that's great. And if you're going to build a fan base, then it lets people get into your music, and if they want to buy it, they're going to buy it. That's just how it goes.
Yeah. And the other thing is that when it suggests other artists on the profiles too, like I'm on the Tom Kilner profile and I see a couple other artists, I might just click on them too. So the discoverability is infinite. Like, you just keep clicking on different artists and finding.
Oh yeah. It's great. I mean, I've discovered so many different artists through that function of, either the artist radio or whatever it is. Found so many artists doing it that way.
Yeah. And another thing would be doing episodes like this where you're across the pond, I'm in Canada, you're in the UK. We're able to do this face-to-face, talk, have a good conversation. and present this to people who may not know about you and this side of the pond, or, you know, maybe somebody in India hears this podcast, right? So, I mean, it goes up on Spotify or wherever, and people are able to reach it and listen to it and then go and access your music. And that's the best thing about the digitalization of our society. I think just the music portion of it, not the royalty part, but like distribution of music and podcasts and people's voices. And if you're able to kind of get into that, you can discover some pretty good material. Bands, what are some bands that are local to you that you'd like to promote?
Well, we've just done... Sorry, got a frog in my throat. We've just done the launch show. Oh God, man!
It's on.
I'm dying. I'm dying. So we've just done a show in Sheffield with some guys called the Rambling Preachers, which they're from Milton Keynes, which is a few hours away from us. So, I mean, in the grand scheme of things in the UK, that's not a great distance when you're talking like US and American distances. But they're a great set of guys, really cool music. There's like local bands for us in Sheffield, like the Lightning Threads. They're a real cool trio, sort of rootsy kind of vibe to that. There's the real good scene in Sheffield, to be fair, for music. And there's quite a few artists, but those are the standouts for me.
That's pretty cool. I find it really weird sometimes where I go look at bands' profiles on Facebook after I discover them on Spotify or whatever, and then they'll just say like Sheffield. Like they said, where are you from? Sheffield, but doesn't say like Sheffield, UK. Did they just put like their town? So I have to get up where they're from. But it's interesting. The art of discovery is amazing. And I'm happy I was able to discover you via appointment, obviously. But Heart of Gold, that solo one there is very nostalgic. Can you explain like the... Because the whole song changes, right? It gets very ambient and... some of the effects that were used, very familiar tones from the past, right?
So with that track, that was originally it was quite a folky track. It was a totally different feel to it, and then we weren't quite vibing it when we were playing it live, when we used to do it in that orientation. So we decided to just totally change it. And it was about building sort of the ambience in it. I mean, I was, like you're saying, with tones and things, I was using like Leslie speakers and spinning speakers and stuff like that. Like David Gilmour was quite a prolific user of Leslie speakers and Steve Ray Vaughan and stuff like that. But I thought it'd just be a cool vibe to just try new stuff out.
It's always good to keep yourself entertained, keep it fun, and help, you know, add to the song that you're creating in a very constructive but unpredictable way. And it's an easy listen for me. I would definitely rate this like 5 out of 5 or 10 out of 10. You got to pick this up when it comes out. Borrowed Time by Tom Kilner. You will not regret this. Thank you, Tom.
Thank you very much for having us, man. It's been great to be on.